and friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
I love it. How are you guys?
I'm so good. How are you?
Pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. We're eating dark chocolate.
It doesn't get better.
No, it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't. So, can you guys believe it's been a whole year?
No.
I can't, actually.
I know. It went by really, really fast.
It did. Just think it all started with blueberry picking.
It did. Mm-hmm. You know, long bike ride, mm-hmm. Barbie movie, some blueberry picking.
Barbie movie?
Yeah.
Were we talking about the Barbie movie?
Yes. I remember on this bike ride, I hadn't seen it yet, but I had read an article about it, or maybe two or three. And I'm like, I'm intrigued because I wasn't going to watch it. I was like, lame. I've seen so many Barbie movies and they're awful. This was like transformative. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really, I'm interested.
It was good.
It blew my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Greta, she did such a good job.
She did. She did. And so then we actually, when we watched it together, mm-hmm. we decided to dress up like
Barbie. I had several Barbie movies. Or Barbie parties.
Barbie parties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was so funny.
Do you still have your Barbie outfits?
Oh,
you
gosh. I'm trying to even think what, I can't remember what I even wore, mm-hmm. but I'll never forget Valerie.
Oh, my God.
She was mm-hmm. naked Barbie.
What?
Yes. She showed up in this like, full body, like, nude colored.
Oh, what? I did not know this. Oh, my God, Valerie.
I didn't even hear this.
Oh, God, I hope not.
It was so good. Her naked Barbie. I think I was like aerobics Barbie or
how did that come about? I love that you did naked Barbie.
I didn't know that she owned a naked suit.
I didn't. I just had like really opaque tights.
Oh,
and then I had shapewear.
You'd find shapewear,
and then I had this flesh-colored, like, top that I wear underneath some of my ski stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. That was just, you know. Then I just put on, I'm like, all of it matched.
But it works, though, because the seams are just like the Barbie
seams. Yeah, and then I put my seams where the Barbie seams go, you know, so I look like I had little...
Because who didn't have naked Barbie at any given time?
Did you wear your hair? Did you wear it down, or did you wear...
In a ponytail.
Yeah, ponytail. It was just
Well, you are amazing. I just love that you did that. I wish I would have been there.
I'm pretty sure Katie was like teacher Barbie.
Oh, okay. She's so cute.
She nailed it.
She did.
Where was I at the Barbie party?
I don't know where you were.
You should have been there. You jumping at the Barbie party.
I know. I had a couple Barbie parties. That's how much I love that movie.
Maybe it's just better that I'm hearing it about it now.
Oh, there was way too much sugar eaten, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was pretty, I'm pretty nauseous after that.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've had one candy bar now out of the little tiny nuggets.
The nuggets. I love it.
The thing about having tiny ones is that you eat more than you think you're going to eat.
That's true.
That's like me who takes a sliver of a pie, but then somehow the whole pie disappears.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you keep taking slivers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So good at it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a whole year, and it started with mm-hmm. blueberries picking,
Barbie movie.
Yeah. That was
reflecting on our favorite movies from the past, whatever we've done.
Yeah.
Our favorite romances
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
this last year that we've reviewed.
Right.
And whether it was like what we reviewed or what you listeners have watched, listened to, articles you read, maybe you should take stock in what your favorite romances have been. Yeah. Because, you know, it kind of tells you what you want to look into next. Like, what kind of romance do you want to have in your life?
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Taylor and Travis. We're so excited.
I know.
I want an invitation.
So my client, she's so cute. Mm-hmm. She's like in her mid to late 70s. She had like her hair, like foils in her hair. She's sitting down at the dryer. And I was kind of up, you know, doing stuff. I'm putting dishes away. I'm folding laundry. And she comes up. She's like, she gets out of her chair.
Oh.
You know, like she pulls the hood up off of her head. Uh-huh. Plus the dryer hood's on her head. She pulls it up. She comes over to me. She's like, oh my gosh. I just thought you should know that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. They're engaged. I was like, oh, wow. That is so exciting. I actually know two people that are going to be really excited about this.
Yeah. Do you know how many people?
That's when I texted.
That to me.
Oh, really? Because I texted you immediately.
Within an hour, I was like, yeah.
But I love that she got excited about it and she wanted me to know.
I love that
immediately.
So much.
I know.
That's so sweet. Well, it's kind of exciting. Yeah, they'll be fun to see. And and for you listeners out there, if we haven't reviewed your perfect romance, I would love suggestions too.
Oh, absolutely.
I've had a lot of fun with like people that have suggested.
Oh yeah. Think about my mother's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which we haven't, we will get to in a couple months.
Oh, we haven't gotten to that yet. Yeah. Oh, okay. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
That was such a discussion. I actually loved it. Yeah. So. I love that book.
It was just a different type of romance. So
it was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I'm sorry I brought that up.
No.
That's your spoiler. Yeah. That's good.
Because as I was looking through my notes, that's one that we have done, but we haven't done it yet.
It hasn't aired yet, but you know, we pre-record, we do what we can when we can.
Yes.
For sure. So yeah, should we get to what your perfect romance was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start. I mean, and this was like our very first book that we chose, Chasing Fire by Nora Roberts. And I think we chose it for two different reasons. Not only is it by Nora Roberts, who is like one of the top romance
and I'd
novel.
Never read anything of hers.
No,
and I was
none
like,
of us
oh,
had.
Great. Here's another like blah, run your mill romance. Uh-huh. I was like not looking forward to it. And I was so pleasantly surprised.
Well, I had read a couple of her stuff before and I was like, how do we break in? You know, we're book clubby girls. How do we break us into more of the romance genre?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, but that book was so great because it had so much. It was totally cross-genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so why did you love it? What did it make? Why was it your purpose?
Well, I mean, not only are both Owen and Wiley, my children, fighting wildfires in the summer, but at the time it was just Owen. And I think that's kind of why we chose it. We're like, you know, let's do something that we kind of are, or at least we have someone we know that's doing that. We can relate to. It takes place in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. Missoula is where these hotshots are stationed. Oh, they're not hotshots. They're
paratroopers.
I know.
I can't.
No, they're hotshots. No, they're the
oh
my god!
I can't remember what
I say this
fire
all
jumpers.
The time.
Fire jumpers, yeah.
Smoke jumpers.
We got it.
What the heck? How did I?
Teamwork makes the dream.
Yes. Anyway, yes.
We read that book
smoke
over
jumpers.
A year ago. So mm-hmm.
I know, but I should be versed in the lingo. I hear it every day, or in the summer.
Yeah,
the boys talk about that stuff all the time.
Do you think they'd ever want to smoke jump?
Right now Owen's goal is hot shot. Wow. Yeah. But then, of course, once you do that, then of course he'll probably want to go on to be a smoke jumper or a... okay, well, I'm not even going to talk about it because I can't think of the word right now. But, that's how we started. We picked the book. But the mm-hmm. reason why it's one of my favorites is it has everything. Mm-hmm. Everything you could possibly want in a romance novel yes. is here. And I am in love with Gulliver Curry. He is the perfect man for me. Like, oh, I'm like, awesome. He's 6'4", he's smart, he's good looking, he's compassionate, he's a good listener, he's patient, he's independently wealthy, he loves children because his side job is a company that does arcade games for children. He's strong and, I can go on.
So he was almost too perfect that I'm like, Nora, give him some flaws.
I don't know. I love reading about a perfect man.
What I really liked about him was that he held the main character, I can't remember her name,
Rowan.
Rowan. Yeah, he held her accountable. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, hey, listen, you know, I really like you. I want to be your person, but I think you're wrong with how you're treating your dad and how you're viewing this. And I'll listen to you. I'll communicate with you, but I'm not just going to agree with you on everything, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yes. And I really love that about
him. I like that too.
I thought that was a beautiful insight into a healthy, good relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, and for Gulliver, the other protagonist is Rowan, who is perfect too. I mean, she is a badass. She is strong and such a great role model for women.
Yeah.
And young girls. And so I loved her as a counterpart to Gulliver.
Yeah.
They were wonderful together. Mm-hmm. I love them together. And I mean, this isn't just a love story about these two. I mean, there is action, suspense, mystery. There's good character development and sexy times.
Yeah, there were some good sexy times.
So you want some steam. There's that. You want mystery.
It was a jalapeno.
I can't remember what we, but it, there's.
There was some good sex scenes.
There's some steam for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
some showery steaminess.
Yeah,
yeah.
What the spice level was.
Yeah, it wasn't all steamy though. I mean, like there were more pages of depth and character development than there were.
Yeah.
She did a good job.
Yeah,
it was also like a 17-hour.
And it was
So she had some time to work.
Yeah, and it was a slow build too. Yeah. They didn't just get hot and heavy fast. It was a slow build, so there was some real romance there. You were excited about when they actually got together.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was a fun read. I really liked it.
It was a good read.
Yeah.
And I actually, my favorite character was her dad.
I loved
him. I thought he was very insightful and empathetic and just a good, well-rounded human.
Totally true.
Yeah, yeah.
He gave great father-daughter advice. Mm-hmm. I liked that dynamic probably more than anything in that book. I know. Yeah. That's
it was all good.
Well, let's take turns. What was yours, Lisa?
My favorite was...
Or one of your favorites. We're kind of doing a bunch of favorites.
Because I really, really liked 28 Summers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked Catching Fire. I really liked Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Oh my gosh, I love that one.
I had so many. I was like, how am I supposed to decide? Yeah.
But we did read some really good ones.
Was After I Do.
Yeah.
And probably, like, you would have guessed that because I'm like, oh, I related so well to the protagonist just because it kind of felt like a retelling my love story.
Yeah.
Like, but that's not the reason I really liked it. It's because she did such a great job of taking, like, this was Ryan and Lauren's love story. And they had to fall apart and separate to realize what they were missing.
Yeah.
And then they came back stronger and better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you've got her mom and what her version of the perfect romance is.
Oh, that's so true.
You know, I don't want to move in with this guy because I don't want to know that he leaves his dirty dishes in the sink and that in the morning he doesn't brush his teeth or all these other things that otherwise I can be like intrigued by him. Mm-hmm. Like it'll take away that intrigue if we move in together. I just want the romance. And then once that fizzles, I can move on. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm like, that works for her. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
So I loved that. And then the brother who, you know, had his little fun on the
airplane.
In the Mile High Club, you know, and knocked some cute girl up, but did the right thing, gave her his phone number in case, I guess, because that's a thing. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They decided they were going to figure out how to fall in love and make that work. And that worked for them.
Yeah.
Like nothing wrong with that. And then the little sister who said, you know what? I don't need to be attached. I have the things that I love about myself and doing for myself and with myself that I don't necessarily need to seek that out. And I'm happy loving myself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like nothing wrong with that. And then the grandma who's, you know, her little bits of advice like, you need to like throw a cocktail party and flirt with the neighbor and
exactly
like, give them a reason to be jealous again. So that you know. Like there's just so many ways to look at what romance is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who's to say what the perfect romance is? It's so individualistic and it so changes over the span of your lifetime. And if you are willing to grow and change and adapt with where your partner is, then great.
Yeah.
You know, like you figure that out. I think that's why I loved it so much.
Yeah, I love that. I loved the growth, the character growth.
Yes.
Because they were kind of on this trajectory.
Yes.
And they had to take time to kind of rethink who they were and what they wanted out of life. Do they want each other? Do they want something else?
We're going to totally give each other a year-long hall pass and not even talk to each other and see what happens.
And I don't think they could have talked to each other. I think had they talked to each other directly, now I know there was a little caveat there, but had they been talking to each other directly during that year, it would have ruined the experiment.
It would have.
But I love that they were reading each other's emails because I think that that actually helped them.
Yeah, they're unfiltered.
Yes.
Thoughts that they needed to hear that they couldn't say to each other.
Yeah.
Because how often do we get stuck? And this is one of the biggest problems that I struggle with is like, I don't want to hurt this other person's feelings. So I'm just going to save them by not saying anything. But in the long run, it's more hurtful because then you're just breeding resentment and you're shutting down and you're not communicating.
And then I probably do the opposite of that too much, where I over-communicate.
So it's finding that balance. So that's why like that was my perfect romance because it was kind of a disaster, but they grew so much from it, and that's what I. And it was what a green pepper.
Oh yeah,
but I'm not all that steamy.
No, it was really...
sometimes like a romance. Maybe everyone's individual romance doesn't necessarily require steam.
Yeah.
So what's funny is I think that in a lot of these romances, like I think that when the relationship is good, it's really, I don't know, if the relationship is good, the sex can always be made good.
Yeah.
If the relationship is good, you can always get the sex to a good place.
Don't you think, too, sometimes in romance novels, if the relationship is amazing, sometimes, like, you know, the author doesn't need to go into the sex because you can imagine that on its own,
and
that's sometimes even more romantic than reading about a sex scene. Although, I mean, I do like reading about it.
Yeah,
reading or hearing about a sex scene, but you know.
There's the time and the place.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. I think that, you know, like, but if you have, you know, like in, if you have really good communication, if you can be open and honest about things, then a lot of the times, you know, you can talk because I mean, especially like we've all been going through so many different changes in our bodies the last few years and stuff. And I don't know about you guys, but just learning the new ways that my body is adapting to, you know, going through perimenopause and menopause and such. I mean, it does change a lot of, you know, sexuality is a different kind of experience now than it used to be. And so just having a healthy relationship with my partner makes it a lot easier to navigate that and work through those things.
So when you hit 40, did you turn into a total horn dog?
No, I didn't.
It didn't do that for you?
No, did that? No, that happened to, that's happened to a few people I know.
That totally. Yeah, that happens. Yeah. So just.
Yeah, did that happen to you? Was 40 a?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if it was necessarily. I don't know.
That's not necessarily true.
If
I'm pissed, I don't want to have sex.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just felt. I don't know what shifted in me and my sexuality. 45. It just felt like a little more open. Mm-hmm. Open to experiencing pleasure rather than, and I think just like overcoming body issues as well. Mm-hmm. Changes how you
can enjoy
sex. Yeah. You know, like I think you get over weird things that
totally
you're like,
agree,
have these weird things when you're young. You're like, oh, is my tummy tucked in? Like, am I, do I smell? Is my tummy big? Do I like, did I fart? I mean, it's like all these things that
it all goes.
Yes. That just like, if you just don't, if you're thinking more about that, then you're not thinking about being, getting pleasure or giving pleasure. You're thinking about more about all those other things that don't mean anything.
Yeah.
So maybe that's kind of what shifted for me.
I think that shift happened for me. Well, you guys didn't. So like my hormones went crazy when I was pregnant. So like right after I had my babies and when I got pregnant, I put on tons of weight. And so you didn't meet me, but I got over 200 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well, it's because I after I was done breastfeeding.
Well, you were so stressed out though.
But after
she
I was done.
Two babies in under 2 years.
I know, but
well,
I don't remember you being that.
But
no,
well, I didn't look like it, but I was like when Avery and when I was breastfeeding and stuff, like when I got pregnant, after I delivered, I was less than that. But yeah, no, my body, when my hormones and stuff like that, when I got pregnant with Kyle, I gained 20 pounds within like 2 months and I was still meeting with a personal trainer. I was still eating perfectly. And my mom, I just put on weight and I could not lose the weight while I was pregnant or breastfeeding. And so, but then right after I stopped breastfeeding Avery, then and my hormones went back to normal. I just, you know, my body went back to me and I'd been me. So for me, that was kind of my experience of, you know, 2 years of being fat essentially kind of was my opportunity to like have a different life experience, you know, because I'm like, whoa, this is so, there was nothing I could do about it. Like I wasn't eating unhealthy. I was still exercising. There was nothing I could do to change it. And so it was like, well, I'm not going to not take my kids swimming. And then I lost all the weight as soon as I, you know, stopped breastfeeding. And
isn't that crazy though?
I know, like most women lose weight when they're, but then I, you know, within 6 months of stopping breastfeeding, I was back down to a size 4.
I remember the first time I met you.
Oh, you
did? Yeah, it was at City Beach. It wasn't through Mom's group. We were at City Beach, and since our kids are the same age, I think Kyle and Owen were kind of playing, and Avery and Wiley were like in little, probably like their their carriages or whatever.
It's been a while.
They were in their buggies.
in their rattles.
And your mom was with you, and she was like, "Oh, look, you guys have the kids the same age."
Oh, that's so cute.
And I just thought, oh, she's a good mom because you're like, you know, very, very thoughtful about what your kids were doing. And
you're so cute.
But I do not remember you being 200 pounds. That's
well,
for sure.
I was probably not 200 pounds. After, well, I had a baby and lost, you know, like that was, but when I remember just like going in for like a checkup and I'm like, just don't even.
I felt like you just were like every other mom, which was like, yes, we just had babies and we're tired and we don't look our best.
But all of us were
fussing
still
after our babies and we're running after our 2-year-olds.
And we are wearing our bathing suits into the water with our toddlers because we're not going to not take our kids swimming because we don't like how we look in a swimsuit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like that was like you have to get over yourself.
That's exactly. Because I was like, I'm not, like, there's one thing between me, like, ruining it for myself because I feel bad about my body or, mm-hmm. you know, like in a sexual moment where I'm like, oh, I feel so bad about myself because, you know, I'm not oompa, oompa, ha, mm-hmm. ha, ha, you know? And then one thing where you're just like, I am not going to be the mom who does not go swimming with her kids and just because I care. Because, like, I'm like, what do I care more about? My kid having a happy childhood or me looking good in a bathing suit?
Yeah. You know, you're right. I think that was probably the shift for me, too. Because you have to, like, have babies in front of people.
Oh, yeah. And you're breastfeeding and the boob gets exposed.
And I remember people telling you when you, like, are in labor, you poop on the, you know, on the labor table. It's like, oh, that sounds so horrible. I can't do that.
Oh, my gosh. The whole time I was in labor, I was every 2 minutes going to the bathroom, like, just to make sure that didn't happen to me.
Oh,
but, like,
gosh.
It was like, it happens to everybody.
I know.
It happened to me, too. I was like
a cow.
I think I remember. I was like, oh, my God, did I just poop? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Nurse just wipes it up real quick. I'm like, oh my God, did I just poop? Jesus, really? Does it come to this?
It's messy shit.
So
it is. But you know, you're poked, you're prodded, you have to show your vagina to a million people. I think you're right. It's like after that, you just get over yourself.
But I was so young when I had kids. Like, I remember the next day I went in to go take a shower and they came in to like take my vitals. And I was like, she pulls the curtain back. She's like, I need to take your blood pressure.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
No, you don't. And I like slam it closed. I'm like, give me privacy. Like,
yeah.
I was so pissed.
At that point, I would have been so like, just.
Yeah, like it doesn't just because
you were
everyone
to see my
saw everything doesn't mean you have a right to like interrupt my shower or a blood pressure reading. No. I was so mad.
That would have been
well because you know it's from here on out. I have no privacy, so give me an ounce, please, right now.
Yeah. I still have my dignity.
Yes.
Oh goodness. Yeah.
Okay. So what about you, Val?
Yeah.
Okay. So. I'm sorry to say chocolate.
Perfect timing. Let's wait for her to take a bite of chocolate.
It's delightful. No, I, you know, it's really funny for me. And my favorite ones are probably the ones that you guys have expressed to. But when I was first thinking about, well, what was my favorite book that we read? And I'd have to say, it's not my favorite book, but it was my favorite experience, and it was the very, 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 very first one we did.
I hated
the book.
Maybe not.
Absolutely hated the book. But when you're talking about this past year for us, what was my favorite? That was my favorite because I was like, yes, we're doing this.
So that's funny because do you know how many times we recorded that?
Oh my God, I know, like 3 or 4 because we were
The microphone died or like something got unplugged.
We thought we recorded it, but we didn't.
All of the learning things. And then I just was like,
we ever got this. Yeah.
It's so true. Oh my gosh. And then you remember you and I thought, oh, we got that recorded. We were like high-fiving ourselves that we've come to find out like, oh.
No. That hour was not recorded at all.
Yeah, yeah. I know. So I by the time we even got that one done, I'm like, I don't know what parts of which sayings or whichever.
That had the best one-liners.
It did have
the
best. I will
say, it was pretty funny.
You know what? I didn't like it, but gosh, it had so much to talk about.
It really did.
For, what was it, like a 3-hour listen?
We kind of rewrote it. We and really made did. It out to be more than yeah.
once. Well, by the time we figured out how to use all of our equipment and record correctly, we had worked that over like a doctoral thesis.
We gave each character such backstories that
never existed. I know.
Those characters ended up being so dimensional. Just listen to our podcast.
I know.
Then read the book.
Then you'll realize that's how it was supposed to be written.
Yes. But that was probably my favorite of our reads, not because of the book, but just because I'm like Thor.
I fuck like Thor.
Yeah. Oh my god, is that not like, I'm going to do that to Bob. I'm like, oh my god, you fuck like Thor.
Oh my gosh, that's every man's dream.
I will. I'll be like,
like, please fuck me like Thor.
Hit me with your hammer. It's so heavy, I can't even lift it. I must not be pure enough of heart.
That's the reason for your big ego.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she played so wrong. But I'd have to say that was my, when we were talking about all this, I'm like, you know, that was my favorite one to record again. Uh-huh. Just because it, for me, meant so much for us.
I agree. Yeah.
And that
was a fun one for sure.
So that one was cute to me.
Oh, I love it. What was your favorite movie, Courtney?
Well, I have two.
Oh, so hard.
Sorry, I couldn't choose between them. A Room with a View, of course. I told you that was my favorite. It was so fun to read it again. It was directed by James Ivory. Screenplay by Ruth Power, and based on a book named Room with a View by Ian Foster.
And isn't it based on Shakespeare? I forgot.
I think we did touch base on that. It was written in 1908. But what I loved about it, well, it's just beautifully filmed.
It is really pretty.
I love the characters. But it was, I felt like it was a romantic story of two young people breaking free of the conformity of marriage at that time.
Yes.
Because marriage
is... You have to take that into account for sure.
Absolutely.
It's planned out. People don't really, you know, it's not based on romance. It's based on economics and finding the right spouse for your...
Social class.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
That was the expectation.
And who's going to, you know, and fulfilling rules within your social class norms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was about two people kind of looking past that and finding passion. And George's father says, you know, he's talking about George, and he says something like, you know, on the other side of the everlasting why, there is a yes and a yes and a yes. To love and living life beautifully. It's a yes, yes, and a yes. And I wrote, it's like, that means to like love and live life full of like beauty and joy and because we're always asking why. Why is this happening? Why does this happen?
That's but a good point.
It was about
why like, not?
Yeah.
Why not just give in to love
and feel the moment
and feel the moment and enjoy it rather than overthinking it and planning things out and having to conform to social norms. And these two break free from that, you know. And there were people on their side, but then there were, you know, they were like working against the social norms
at
the time.
She was so funny. Mm-hmm. The little cute aunt.
Yes. Yes. But that's what I loved. And I love that. To me, it was so romantic and filled with love and joy. And as George would say in the apple tree, the beauty.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
That was, yeah.
In the five-year-old apple tree.
Yeah, it's falling down.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
and my other movie is My Old Ass, which it is directed by Megan Park, and she wrote it also. And
I think it was released this year.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a good
It just resonated with me. And I felt like if you could tell your younger self to appreciate life and the people you love, because it is fleeting. Like, mm-hmm. And you don't know that when you're young and moments in life go by.
I think the older that we get, the more set in our ways. We really are. We get more set in our ways, less curious, mm-hmm. less willing to be open to new ideas. And mm-hmm. we kind of shut down that way. Mm-hmm. And so it was really nice to see her older self appreciate
the wisdom
of
youth.
The possibilities and wisdom of youth.
And and that's what I loved about it. It was the exchange of
there's
wisdom in youth and there's wisdom in experienced and age.
Sure. And if you can instill one upon the other, we would be a much fuller human, I think.
Do you still call the children, do you call that wisdom or do you call that insight or there's a purity, a freedom?
They're not being constrained by like these rules and expectations that they put on themselves anymore. You know, like they haven't boxed themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of a shitty part of growing old.
Like, it's
yes,
true.
I think
we need to fight that a little bit. Stay curious.
Yes, but
open.
You're young and you are so excited to experience things and get out there. But at the same time, you're not taking time to appreciate it and appreciate the people in your life,
the gift that you're living.
Love, because it moves so fast and people come in and out of your life and you think people might be there forever, but they're not. And so it's so important to love
while you can
love and enjoy every moment.
That movie definitely got put into my top 10. Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe. You're so good.
Yeah, that's why I had to put both of them in there.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, those were the two of the best.
That was, it was between that and Truly Madly Deeply.
Yes, which I love too.
Which is from the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
I want to say. And don't ask me to repeat any statistics on it whatsoever, because I cannot remember any of that. But just the beauty of of having loved so deeply,
mm-hmm.
and just the grieving process.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's just so much growth too for her, because she has to go through so many stages of grief.
Yes, and you know, grief looks different for everybody, and it morphs and it changes, and it probably always stays to some level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it gives you greater depth and appreciation for mm-hmm. love.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking, but also inspiring, because mm-hmm. she's heartbroken at the beginning. But at the end, she does find love again.
Yes.
But it has to. Yeah, and it's a process of how she moves from being so sad and devastated, where she can barely move, being able to love another human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was such a beautifully done show.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I love that, like, even down to she was just ugly crying. Like, I love that because it's so genuine.
She was an incredible actress.
She was insane. Like,
I don't know if she won any awards for that.
She should have, man. That was so, so well done.
I just think that if you haven't seen Truly Madly Deeply,
that was probably my favorite of the movies we watched, just because, whoa.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's got 100%. I'll give some statistics here.
I love your statistics.
I know. This is a Lisa statistic, but look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it got like 100% score.
Oh,
like,
it did. Yeah.
I think it is one of the all-time, from what I remember.
I've never even heard of it. Well, and I don't know who was like, let's watch this.
I think Courtney was.
Well, I don't know. It was a group effort because I think somebody said something, and I listened to a podcast and they reviewed it.
I think what it was is I was trying to come up with the names of the other ones and the Valentine's Day type ones, where it's like the four or five different stories that happen all at once.
Crazy Stupid Love, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, like those types of ones and things like that. And so I think it came up in that Madly Truly, and we pulled it up as one of the names of the ones to consider during that. And so we started looking up, and then one of the characters that the deceased husband was actually
Alan Rickman
was in Severus Snape, two of those movies that we were talking about too. So I think they got pulled in like that.
Which other movie was he in?
He was the British man who was having the affair.
In Affair to Remember?
In one of the other.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway. So.
I mean.
But that was such
for more than just being Severus Snape.
Yeah,
absolutely. Those two did such an incredible job together.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. And then we had a lot of lighthearted movies that I really had fun watching with you guys. Like I loved, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I mean, how can you not laugh your butt off on that?
Yeah, that's so cute. Good. And Clueless was fun. Clueless is always so fun.
Yeah. The Statue of Liberty does not have RSVP on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I have to say? I also like there were some shows that I really enjoyed rewatching with you ladies because like you've got Mail and stuff like that. I never realized. I'm like, whoa, some of these shows where I thought these guys were like great and adorable. I'm like, they're actually not so great. Once we start looking at them from a healthy relationship perspective.
Yeah.
You're like, why do we think that was a cute, like, that should be the guy you want to be with? Like, oh, they're so cute. They're so together.
No, he really took advantage of her.
Yeah, like different things like that. So I thought that was really a neat perspective to go and rewatch some of the movies that we used to watch when we were
younger. And the one, like, I forgot, you guys have seen it. I never saw it before, was Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that, but that was really fun to watch with you guys because you knew all the songs and everything.
It's one of the best.
I love
ever made.
Oh yes. In fact, sometimes I'm like, what? I forgot how you're supposed to sing that song.
No. It's dead.
And then we also have a lot of really good interviews and a lot of fun, like little articles or what would you do this year and stuff. Do you guys have some favorites of those?
My favorite thing has been doing interviews, probably. I look at it like we're going over like these fiction things.
Yes.
Because like all of our romance movies and novels are like, they're fiction. Mm-hmm. I like having a like real perspective too.
Oh gosh.
It's been so fun.
So many cutie patooties.
My favorite, I mean, it was hard to pick because I've loved every single interview we did. Oh, I love the people we interview.
Have we not interviewed some every really couple has amazing been wonderful. People. So if,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I actually can make a case for every single one of our interviews being mm-hmm. like my favorite interview.
But the ones that stood out to me were the ones I did in Turks and Caicos. I interviewed three couples, Justin and Jamie, Luke and Amy, and Jen and Justin. And they stand out to me because, you know, I had to get out of my little comfort zone and mm-hmm. approach people and ask
complete
them.
Total strangers.
Complete yeah, total strangers. So and ask
I'm
them.
Impressed with you.
If I could interview them. And it just meant so much to me. And I appreciated the couples for trusting me with telling me their love stories.
Yeah,
because I could have been like a fake person. You know, I was like, I promise I have a podcast. Uh-huh. This is what it is. I show them. I like it. And I'd love to interview you. All three couples were such lovely people. And I adored and cherished the time that they gave me.
Yeah.
And it, like, I was kind of dealing with something at the time. And their... which I talked to them about later, and they really gave me inspiration and made me feel really good about what I was going through. And so if you guys are listening, Justin, Jamie, Luke, Amy, Jen, and Jason, I appreciate you so much for giving me your time. I loved meeting with you, and thank you for letting me interview you and telling us your stories, because I think everybody probably appreciated you had such unique individual inspirational things to give me and everyone else who listened, I think.
For sure.
Yes.
So I know they were fun to listen to.
Yes.
I loved it. Yeah. And I think for me, this was hard.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So hard. I mean, I love Jim and Virginia.
Oh my gosh,
they were
for
77
so
years.
Cute.
And like, I just loved hearing them just like, you know, joke around with each other.
Oh, they were
after
cute.
So long.
Like still
40. That's two from one. Like,
yeah, exactly. You're like exactly.
Oh,
she
cute.
Normally makes the most amazing stews.
Yeah, I love everything she cooks except for last night.
I know, she's so cute. And it's just the cute little
the
body
banter.
Language and the banter between them. Just like,
I
still
mean,
just,
77 years later and
yeah.
you can, like, the magic is still there. Like, it's,
yeah,
just
it's
so,
so
freaking
cute. Oh my gosh.
But probably because I'm trying to single it down to one, I really loved talking to Mike and Allison.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, so Mike right out the gates, like, love at first sight.
Oh, which, absolutely.
And there is no doubt in my mind that that's absolutely true.
Yes,
for
agree.
Them.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Totally agree.
Totally. They were so magnetic and energetic, and like the thing that I loved most about the two of them is how much they supported each other.
Oh, completely.
And how excited they were for each other. And I was like, oh, they're gonna tell me they've been together for like a couple years.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, this is such, oh, look,
yeah,
at
that
them.
Kind
cute
of energy, like that fizzles over time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, nope, we're going 20 years strong.
Completely. And they're still super excited
yes.
for everything that each
they
of them does.
They show up for each other.
They do.
And I love when Mike admitted they've been dating long distance
yeah.
for a long time.
Yeah.
Just because of where
five
they
or 7 years
were at
or something.
With their careers
yeah.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how challenging that could be. Like,
yeah.
I don't know that I could have done that. But then Mike, like, listened to his mom. She's like, honey, you're never going to find a girl better than that. Like, what are you waiting for? And he was like, oh, I needed to hear that, mom. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Any man that will listen to his mother, he's a good, keep him. He's a keeper.
Well,
anyway,
you know, also felt like that was Luke and Melinda had so
absolutely.
Much energy too. Like, I just loved listening to them. I really could have just sat back and like, this is a movie. I'll just sit and watch the two of you interact and listen to you talk about your love story.
Yeah.
Aww. They are like another love at first sight.
Mm-hmm. They were.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun to also hear all of our friends and things, you know, like we've heard a lot of their love stories. So it's really cute just to like make it official and get the full rundown. And the thing that I really loved just, you know, hearing on the backside is the friends that, you know, our friends that we interviewed in the beginning, especially were just like, I didn't know that you thought that. And just the special moments that they had, the aha moments that they shared with us after the interviews, because we're all close and personal.
Right.
That's what I thought was really extra beautiful to me. I think that's one of the things I love most about the interviews, too, was the aha moments that the couples had.
Mm-hmm. Some things that they shared, they're like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And, like, what a difference that made, like, for them. Just, like, realizing... I had no idea you cared that much.
Exactly.
And that, like, you thought that.
Oh, like even with the Even and Norm, you know, they're so cute with like how like, oh no, I thought that the really cute girl was going to be at parent teacher conferences. And so she's all like, I was trying to avoid him because I had just gotten off the night shift and I hadn't slept and I was in my slippers. Not quite.
Yeah.
Everything's so cute.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this, if the one.
Just had it.
Did it just air already?
Yeah.
Names?
Brian and Krista.
Thank you.
I know.
Brian and Krista. So I loved Brian and Krista's story. And
Kristen.
I always do this. This is why I can't. I'm not allowed to say names. I know they're like.
Well, at least you can say names. I can't read anything.
That's why we're a team.
Yes, we are. We're good at it too.
Okay, so I love that interview because, like, you have all of the love, you have all of the things. But what I really appreciated about what they shared is they were really open about how when you realize, oh my gosh, I found the right person, but because of the things that I've learned in my life or because of my own, where I'm at, I'm not being there for the person the way that I want to be there for the person. And I need to learn some things about myself and grow, kind of like your favorite book.
Yeah.
And the same thing. And so I felt like their interview was a lot like that story where they were just talking about how they realized they had to do some self-growth, how they actually gave each other some time and space when they needed it, and how they just did the, and they were honest and did the work that needed to happen in the group.
I cannot tell you how commendable it was for the two of them to be so vulnerable about something that's so challenging.
Absolutely.
Because I want to guess that almost everyone that's in a relationship for, you know, any length of time is going to go through some really tough things.
Absolutely.
But, okay, this is the Taylor Swift line. I'm sorry I have to use it. But
no, go girl.
I'd rather stare directly at the sun than in the mirror. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like that, for most people, is true.
Well, yeah.
But the fact that they were willing to look in the mirror.
Yeah. And
exactly.
Just,
and say, I do need to fix some things.
Another thing I love
about
that.
Rather than blame, because that's the easy way out.
It is. It's so.
Is to blame the other person. But they shared that. And they shared the growth that they got from that.
Absolutely.
And that is incredible.
And they both were like, you know what? I can understand if we're going to move forward or not move forward, but it independently of whether or not, you know, we're going to move forward together, I have to address this about who I am. And I really loved it too, because like they did the deep dive. They did the hard work. Yeah. They learned about their attachment styles and they learned how to overcome their traumas.
And communication.
Oh, absolutely. Communication things. And so I loved it because that's a lot of the stuff that I went through to heal, you know, the trauma counseling, the different things in order, you know, and so for me, I was just like, yes, that. And so for me, yeah, it was just
so spot on
with the healing process, you know, like, and even just the feelings, the feels that come up with the healing process. And then the successes and the joy that comes from when you're like, oh my God, I didn't know after I healed this part. I thought this thing was going to be like, it was terrible. It sucked sitting in this ugly. I hated it. But then like, oh my God, once I got through that, it's so much easier now. Yeah. And like, whoa, why were we doing it like that? And until you go through all of that hard work and you learn your whys and you understand yourself and own yourself. For me, it was just beautiful because, I believe that there's healing so in the universe.
And that interview was just last week.
Yeah.
So if listeners did not get a chance to listen to that, like it is, it's a really good,
it's lesson. A really good one. Yeah. I really loved that. That was beautiful to me.
Yeah.
So.
They were phenomenal.
Yes. I think everyone, once I said, like, I have learned so much from everyone who's shared their love story with us.
Yeah. Who would have thought that that's what would, in doing this, we would actually learn most about love is through other people, real couples and their stories.
I just hope, like, this next year, like, we can look for that way that as humans, we all connect.
Yeah.
And we're all here to help build each other up and support each other.
And learn from each other. Because, like, even when we've, like, looked at so many books, like, even the books we've looked at, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, thank you so much for that insight, Courtney. Or Lisa, like, dude, how did I miss that? You know,
we do it all the time.
Yeah. And so I just am like,
I get so much more out of it than I would have. I don't know what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying.
Talking
it over and doing deep dives, like I get 10 times more out of what I just read or watched or what than I would have otherwise.
Who would have thought like Clueless would have brought so much to the plate when we talk about like all the things that we felt when we were watching that movie.
The educational opportunities when we do get to dive into a sexy scene about, you know, okay, well, you know, like technique.
I love it. I feel like I've had like 3 people tell me that I need to read Lights Out. Like we need to review that. It's like super, super steamy.
Oh, we should.
We'll have to put that on.
We should. We need to do that. I everyone's, I just feel like I need to make my husband blush.
I still feel inclined to embarrass my children. So.
Oh, me too.
I know. My poor husband doesn't serve it, babe.
No. He's innocent.
I know. But our kids, you know, there was that time in Walmart when the kids went kind of cray-cray. Yeah. So I love them, right?
They put us through it.
Wiley's little friend that's a girl that's a girlfriend.
Friend girl?
Girlfriend.
The Katie Pachuti who was at the restaurant the other day and when we got the bowls.
This has been his friend for a really long time.
Oh, okay.
But
not a girlfriend.
But a girlfriend.
Oh, okay. I'm confused.
Now it could be a girlfriend, but
who knows?
Been a friend.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, she came over the other night and I was reading I was going through like my box with my journal. I talked about my kissing list and stuff like that.
Oh, it's so cute.
And I was like kind of going through my journal and she came in and said hi. And she's so cute because she always gives me a huge hug. And I told her, she's like, oh, what are you doing here? Because I had all these papers and everything laid out around me. And I said, I'm going through this box and found my journal. And she's like, oh, that is so great. You kept a journal. I go, do you want to hear one of my entries? I go, let me see. Like when I was about your age, let's see. Here's an entry. I kind of embarrassed myself, but I really embarrassed Wiley. Wiley's like, Oh my God, Mom. This is my 18-year-old self. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Courtney, can you read some of those?
Maybe. We'll see. It was pretty funny. But he was dying of embarrassment. But you know what?
He secretly loved it.
He did.
She was very cute. And anyway, when I took Wiley up to college, we went out to lunch and we were kind of at this place that had cute stuff. And she had mentioned that she might want a journal because we were talking about like having something physical once again, mm-hmm. that leaves an imprint of who you were and who you are.
Yes.
I mean, because if you don't have anything like that, I mean, and you can do stuff in your phone, whatever, but
that's not the same.
And you lose stuff in your phone. And it loses.
Like, what if something happens to me? Does Wiley or Owen get all the memos I kept myself? Or, you know, it's something you can, that leaves a piece of who you as a person were.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of talking about that and I was telling her, you know, like, obviously, here's, like, a book that was, like, you know, between the ages of 11 and 18. There are only one, two, maybe, entries a year. Maybe a little more.
Yeah.
But, geez, it gives a, you know, like, we just read a little, like, synopsis of, like, a little bit of what I was going through. And you get, like, a whole lot. And so we went out, Wiley and I went out to lunch, and they had all these journals and you know, cute little covers and stuff. I'm like, what? Just Wiley and I. And okay. I said, I'm going to get one of these for her. Which one should I get?
Aww, and he's so like, cute.
So we picked one out and then he got her little bracelet. It was super cute. Aww. It's like this super thin little like gold plated thing that says beautiful. I'm like, he picked it out all himself.
So sweet.
It was very cute. So
I know. I love him.
Anyway, adorable.
He's always been like the cutest.
He's very cute. But so he anyway, I gave her the journal and she was super excited because, you know, it's like, and I think it's a really nice thing for a young person mm-hmm. to start doing something like that. And like I said, you don't have to do it every day. Just put little pieces of what you're thinking here and there. And someday when you're 54,
your son will
enjoy reading these entries together.
Yeah. You can embarrass your son by reading it too. Oh, that's so cute.
That's the sweetest. I love it.
So,
well, we got a lot to look forward to for the next year, guys.
Yeah, yes, we do.
I am excited.
I know. So, thanks for being with us during this journey, everyone.
Yes, if you just started on the journey with us.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, send us your faves. What should we be talking about as our favorite book and movie?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Yeah.
Or have us interview you.
Yeah.
Actually,
that's been so fun. People reaching out from all over the country.
Absolutely. We might have to do some extra interviews.
We've had authors. We've had people just that want to, you know, share their love stories. Mm-hmm. And I have loved talking to everyone.
Me too. It's like opened some real doors for us as far as like how we feel about romance, love, and connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great. And we appreciate you listening to us and your support.
Yeah,
so thank you for listening over the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you want to get a hold of us, just in case, myperfectromance.com. That's how you find us. All right. Now we'll say goodnight.
Goodnight. Bye.
Bye.